Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode 7, where we're talking Fever Pitch, Incredible Goals, and Classic Comebacks.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sophie.
And this is G'day from GOTB. Where are we, Soph? I think we've totally lost it now.
We have. I think the constant flying is killing us. We are in... I was going to say Brisbane Airport.
Not yet.
We're in Sydney Airport and we're flying to Brisbane for France, Brazil tonight. Another day, another airport.
Another day, another airport. We thought we'd take you with us. This was bound to happen at some point during this series of podcasts because we're just running out of time, really. But, oh my God, do we have a lot to talk about. We are going to have to fly through some of these results because so many have happened since we recorded our last pod. And so many good things have happened and exciting things have happened. As I said in the intro, round 2, very exciting.
Yep.
We're going to start with England-Denmark purely because that is where we were last night. Most fresh in our mind. I think we'd probably start with the lineup. I think that probably surprised quite a few people.
Yeah, because Serena Wiegmann rarely changes things, and so she made 2 changes to her starting 11. Jess Carter dropped out, which I thought was a little unfortunate because I thought she was probably one of the better players against Haiti. But Rachel Daly came in at left back with Alex Greenwood moving to the centre back role, and then obviously LJ came in for Lauren Hemp down the left, and it actually really added a nice balance to the side, that left-sided partnership of LJ and Rachel Daly. Rachel Daly, because she's quite forward-minded in her attacking, was very supportive of LJ and allowed her to choose when to stick wide or invert and get cut inside, and that's what led to the goal initially.
Yeah, it was something we were talking about when it first happened. We were a bit like, what is going on? We were all really surprised that that Rachel Daly was gone back into defence. I'm not sure we maybe thought that was going to happen again. I think maybe we thought, okay, she's committed to Rachel Daly being a forward. But that is not the case. And actually, I got a stroke of genius there from Serena. First 30 minutes, I thought, really good. Really impressed the kind of flowing football we're used to seeing from England. Wonderful goal from Lauren James. What she deserves on the world stage and the confidence that she scored, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think it was. It was exactly what we were expecting from her. This is her stage, as it were, her level to be at, and she just needs a bit more experience, I think, just to really nail down that spot. But she shone throughout the first half. She was the focal point of the attack, whether she was breaking down the side or coming inside, as I said before. But yes, she was definitely that focal point, and she caused. You could see whenever she got the ball, Denmark were like, oh crap. because she could just, and they were sort of fearful of her. She tailed off maybe a little bit in the second half, as to be expected. I think we'll talk about the why later. But yeah, really impressive from her in her first start in a World Cup.
Apologies for that announcement during Sophie's excellent analysis of Lauren James, but that was our flight being delayed. Wonderful, wonderful. Good start to the day. We then obviously have to look at Ciara Walsh's injury, which did not look good on first looking. Having seen it back, it still looked worse. I feel like it's one of those she knew, we knew, they all knew it wasn't good. And if it's not the dreaded 3 letters, which we hope it's not, I do think it's potentially tournament ending for her, which is a real shame because England are going to need to try and sort that out, and it is not going to be an easy fix.
No, you can't replace Ciara Walsh in this England side. So you're going to have to figure out how to work around it and use the players that you do have. I think trying to force someone into that Ciara Walsh hole is going to be a problem. As I've said before, you know, if Leah Williamson was fit, that would have been the obvious, you know, replacement. As it is, there isn't an obvious replacement. Georgia Stanway filled in during the game yesterday, but is that permanent? Fix, because then you lose. I think she can do the job, not maybe to Ciara Walsh's standard, but she can do a job. But then you lose Georgia Stanway and what she can add to a team. So it's a dilemma for Serena and her staff in these coming days about what to do.
Well, here's hoping it's not as bad as it looked, but I'm just not sure. Second half, I feel like the injury knocked the stuffing out of them a bit. I think having seen so many bad injuries recently, just seeing another one for the team, it seemed to really take the wind out of their sails. not to say that, you know, take anything away from Denmark. I thought they stepped up in the second half. And we're lucky not to get an equaliser. They hit the post with a diving header near the end, and we all kind of held
offside.
Our breath.
I think it was going to be offside anyway. They still got in and still hit the post. Lars Sundergaard said that the injury did allow Denmark to reshuffle and refocus and sort of take control when England were a bit shell-shocked. And he said that they shifted formation a bit to be able to, because they didn't have to deal with Kira Walsh anymore. And he was very, very complimentary about England. He said, when talking about Lauren James, he said, the problem with England is when you have one star out, another one pops up. Or like that one star gets on the ball and then another talent comes through. So you can't just focus on one player. You have to be alert to all the threats. And I think he was a bit disappointed with their first half. That first 30 minutes anyway before the injury, because they sat off England so much. And unlike Haiti, who were on England as soon as they got the ball, they allowed them to play. So Kira Walsh was actually getting the space to work her magic through that midfield area. She was spraying the passes around a bit. Lauren James was getting that space down the side. I think it was... He was welcoming of the injury, obviously not, but like it allowed him to change things up a bit and get them back into the game.
Okay, well, we'll move on from that. They've got China next, who obviously won against Haiti. They beat Haiti 1-0, even though they were down to 10. I think England needed them to lose in order to guarantee progression before the final game. So because China have won, England basically needs something out of their meeting next week. So Ireland v Canada next. Heartbreak for the girls in green. I had said I hope that when we do our next podcast, it would be a positive one, but sadly it wasn't to be. I think that first half is probably the best football I've ever seen them play. They were really attacking, should have taken the chances, should have got in 2-0 up at halftime, which was a real missed opportunity. That Katie McCabe goal will go down in history. Who else stood out for you?
I thought Kira Caruso has developed so much as a centre-forward. Her attacking play, her hold-up play was so, so good against Canada in that first half. She's full of running, she's developed her positioning so well, and she supports when she's supported by wingers up front. So Lucy Quinn came into the game, and it gave her a lot more ability to work in that area, whereas against Australia I felt she was a bit isolated. She's also so considered when you speak to her. She's one of the most like interesting people to listen to in the press conferences. So I thought she was really good. I thought Lucy Quinn did well. I was very surprised that she was taken off at halftime. She was adding width to Ireland and stretching the play, and it was her cross that set up the corner for Katie McCabe's Olympico.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I thought as well when Abby Larkin came on, she was good. They tailed off. They didn't start the second half well. It was Tony Gustafsson, I think, who recognised Ireland's tailing off at the end of first half and not starting well at the beginning of seconds, and that's kind of exactly what happened. Canada scored at the end of the first and at the beginning of the second. It was a real like double blow, and they could never really get their footing again. I thought the last kind of 5-10 looked like they might get a goal, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
I think conceding like 10 seconds before half time in the manner that they did, Megan Connolly own goal, was a massive blow. And then it was down to experience, wasn't it? Like Canada brought on over 600 caps worth of experience at half time in the form of like Christine Sinclair and Sophie Schmidt. So, and Ireland just don't have that at the moment. It will develop over time. That was kind of the difference, I think, between the two sides, that kind of experience and history of major tournaments.
Yeah, 100%. Quite proud to be disappointed. I didn't think I would be disappointed after the Australia and Canada games, and I was. Australia now need Ireland to win, which is kind of funny. Suddenly everyone's going to be backing Ireland against Nigeria.
Literally the whole of Australia is going to be an Irish fan on whenever they play next week.
So quickly through some of the results, we also had Japan beating Costa Rica 2-0. Both of those results I think we kind of expected. Elsewhere we had a big clash between the USA and the Netherlands, which was, despite being 1-1, felt like a proper battle.
Yeah, it was a classic battle. I think Flatko really didn't know what to do, Flatko and Andonovski. He named an unchanged starting 11, I think, for the USA. They couldn't really handle that 3-5-2 of the Netherlands in the first half. And the Dutch did well. They didn't create many chances during the game, but they got their goal in the first half to take the lead. And I think it was the first time since 2011 that the USA have trailed in a in a World Cup game. But then Rose Lavelle came on at half-time, and that did work. I think it changed things up a bit. It's a little bit of a fight between Daniela van der Donk and Lindsay Horan. Fired Lindsay Horan up, got the goal, got the equaliser, and it saved the USA's blushes.
Lesson learned, don't make Lindsay Horan angry, because she scores absolute bangers when she's angry. What a superpower. Elsewhere, we had Portugal 2, Vietnam 0, which is an historic win for Portugal, so well done to them. And then we had got back just in time for this one, landed from Perth just in time, and had a lovely time on the couch with a takeaway watching this one. Australia 2, Nigeria 3. What a blockbuster this was. I feel it was a case of Australia not taking their chances, Nigeria being relentless and clinical in front of goal with the chances they created, and seeing Asisat Oshoala coming on and getting that third as well with a brilliant celebration. It was a special one to watch, but a slight worry that the hosts might go out.
Yeah, it comes all down to that final game against Canada, doesn't it?
That is not what you want, to be going up against Olympic champions and needing a win, and also needing Ireland to do something against Nigeria. My God, there's so much to cover. We then had South Africa 2, Argentina 2. Another really exciting game. We watched that in the morning. Great comeback from Argentina, and maybe one of the goals of the tournament, perhaps from Braun. Definitely check that out if you haven't seen it. That group remains very exciting. As we mentioned, we had China-Haiti, 1-0 to China. And as you touched on, Haiti should have had a penalty and didn't get it. VAR, where were you? Yeah, that could be an interesting one, because it means now that England need a result off that China game. Coming up today, we've got Sweden against Italy, France versus Brazil, which we're going to and are very excited about. And then we've got Panama versus Jamaica. So plenty more action. We've then got... Well, it's not a day off tomorrow, is it, Sophie? It's match day minus one, but there's a sort of bit of a break from the football.
Yeah.
There's going to be
an
Irish party in Brisbane in the fan zone between 12 and 2. So if you're around, make sure you come down. And we are now going to be getting on our flight to Brisbane when it eventually comes. And then we'll be in Adelaide, and then we'll be in Melbourne. And who knows where the next episode will be coming from and recorded. Hopefully not in an airport. See you guys soon.